Welcome to another edition of the Game Show Game, the show where different game shows from up and down the ratings compete against each other to find out which master of ceremonies can talk the fastest. And straight away with our first game show, sign in here, please.
Yes, from London Weekend Television, we present the Brute Force Show.
Well, thank you, Anthea. This is our first contestant, is it? Right, well, over here, then. Now, get over there. Not over there, over there, for goodness sake. Oh, come on. Now, over here, that's it. Now, stick your elbow down. No, not down there. Oh, don't fidget, dear. Come over here, stand up straight. For goodness sake, move over here. Move up, not over there, over here.
Thank you, there, the Brute Force Show. Well, that's the name of the pace the games have to chase, so straight away, let's show our next game show on the Game Show Game tonight.
Thank you. Can I have your name, madam? Your occupation?
Doris Spedding of Bayswater.
And your specialist subject?
Housewife.
And you have 2 minutes on answering one question behind all the time. Starting from now. How long was Noah in the Ark?
Answering one question behind all the time.
Correct. In the GPO, what do the letters stand for?
40 days and 40 nights.
Correct. What does GB on a car mean?
General Post Office.
Correct. What sort of a boat is a junk?
It's made in Britain.
Correct. What nationality was William the Conqueror?
Chinese with a flat bottom.
Correct. What's another name for the Playboy Club?
Norman.
Correct. In 1954, what was it that killed 35,000 rabbits?
The Bunny Club.
Correct. I've started, so I'll finish.
Thank you there, Mastermind, which scores 14.5 Rossiters on the incomprehensibleometer. Well, we'll take a very short break there. Hello, and welcome back to the Game Show Game. And let's hear the name of the game with the claim to fame. Who wants to play the Game Show Game here tonight?
Thank you. Isla, what's my first line this evening?
Thank you,
Isla. Isla, what's my second line?
Well, Larry, your second line is Isla.
Thank you, Isla. Isla?
Thank you, Larry. And now it's time for you to say Isla again.
Thank you, Isla, thank you. And, Isla...
Thank you there to our last two contestants who each get a small consolation prize, a trip to watch Sale of the Century being picketed by a group of anesthetists. which I think you'll agree is pretty small consolation. Right now it's time for me to change...
into my other voice. And so it only now remains to see who is tonight's winner of the most complex game in Christendom trophy. And I see that the winner is Yorkshire Television's 3-2-1.
Thank you. Well, hi, ladies and gentlemen. What about that for an introduction, eh? Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Sounds like a multi-story block of laboratories. Anyway, welcome to 3-2-1 with our very special theme of the Birkis Way. What about that title, eh? 3-2-1? Sounds like the odds against our audience laughing. Our audience laughing, it sounds like nothing on earth. Nothing on earth? That sounds like just a load of dirt. Just a load of dirt, it sounds like Bernard Manning's cabaret act. Bernard Manning's cabaret act sounds like a blue spree. Blue spree sounds like QC. QC sounds like being called to the bar. Being called to the bar sounds like an advert for chocolate. Advert for chocolate sounds like pick up a penguin. Pick up a penguin sounds like Batman on heat. Batman on heat sounds like Dracula in a paddy. Dracula in a paddy sounds like an Irish count. Irish count sounds like 3-2-1. Please, don't applaud. You just missed 16 gags. You know, a lot of people have written in saying that my style of humor is too mechanical. Well, now, it's time to meet our first lovely hostess, a girl with bags of personality and brothels of talent, Mireille, male chauvinist Pigswill.
Isn't good. Here we have our first couple, Ted, Mr. and Mr. Prodnegast.
Mr. and Mr. Prodnegast? That must be a mistake, surely.
No, it's not.
Oh, God.
Mr. Prodnegast lives in Arlo in Essex, but is receiving treatment. And, The guest was born in Fulham 9 months premature, and his father still has a nervous twitch. Both Mr. Prodnegast and Mr. Prodnegast belong not at all to the Labour or Conservative Party.
Oh, God.
Well, Mr. Prodnegast, welcome to 321. And tell me, what exactly do both of you do?
Well,
I mean, for a living.
I know.
sorry about that.
We both work in a supermarket. One of us sells meat and the other one sells fruit.
Oh, that's very interesting, very interesting. And which one of you is the butcher?
Well, there's... there's not much in it, is there?
Well, now, gentlemen, if I can call you that, you have half a minute in which to name 10 of James Callaghan's shoulders, starting from 30 seconds ago. Oh! Bad luck there. So you did score 6, which, by the complicated rules of the game, means you only scored 2, I'm afraid. So you go on to play for £1.50 a time now. And what a shame you scored nothing at all there. Still, you do take home £45 in cash with you. Would you like it now?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, bad luck. Yes, please was, of course, this week's secret reverse answer. So that means, of course, no thank you. And therefore, you don't get anything at all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes from now with more fun on 321. Don't go away.
There will now be a short intermission.
And now, at last, coming to this intermission, a man who says...
Good afternoon. What do you mean,
good afternoon? It's morning.
Is it? Oh, it's so difficult to tell on the radio.
Excuse me a moment. There, see?
Oh, well, that's funny. I make it 6:12.
I'm sorry, your orchestra's fast. What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like to knee a building society manager in the groin, please.
Pardon?
I'd like to knee a building society manager in the groin, please.
I see. Do you have a reservation?
No, I'm going to enjoy it.
I mean is, do you have an appointment?
An appointment?
Yes. Now, let me see now. Oh, I think we have a groin free at about 11:15. Mr. Jones!
Yes!
Can you fit in a knee at 11:15?
Honestly, I'm not sure. We're a bit full this morning. We've got a lot of things in hand today.
Oh, couldn't you and Mr. Perskins double up?
We already are!
Thank you, Job. Now then, I'll just see if we can fix you up with someone. Perhaps our Mr. Snoss. Oh, dear. You seem to have caught us all on the hop. I'm afraid we're rather short-groined at the moment. Perhaps I could interest you in some of our other offices.
Well, I don't know. What have you got?
Well, through here we have our blowing the brains out of the man who gave Olivia Newton-John the OBE.
Blowing his brains out?
Yes. Here's the gun, and here's the magnifying glass.
No, I don't fancy that.
Or, finally, in here we have our striking down an insurance salesman with an act of God cubicle.
Good afternoon. I wonder if you've ever considered taking adequate life insurance for the stresses inflicted by modern...
Welcome back to 321. Well, this is where we come to our special memory test in which our contestants have to try and remember why they ever wanted to come on this show. And in addition, we're going to test their powers of observation as our crazy team of oddball funsters play out a little sketch here in the studio. As we all know, one of the Berkis Way's favourite tricks when it was on was to do slightly comedic send-ups of certain television programmes. I'd love to see what they would have done to us. Well, anyway, we wonder what sort of parody they'd be doing if they were on the air today.
Present the blood gushing all over the screen in question, written and gesticulated by Dr. Jonathan Makeshift Impersonation. The only man whose hands are too loud for the deaf. Each week, Dr. Makeshift Impersonation carefully talks through a different area of the body. This week, his mouth.
Well, here I am in one of the most ancient, some might say revolting, relics of the Middle Ages. Now musty, mildewed, and decayed with the passage of time. In fact, it's hard to believe it was ever a jersey at all. And yet, the real protector of my organs and tissues is not my jersey, but my body. That's to say, this thing with arms and legs just visible behind my nose. Even today, few people are really aware of the body and how it functions. And you, sir, any idea where your brain is?
My brain.
Your brain, yes.
My brain.
Your brain.
Oh, yes, it's up here.
Okay, no, I don't think it's up there, Constable.
Inspector.
Oh, sorry. Probably is there. Oh, hello, madam. Do you think you could show me where the mammary gland is, please?
Sure, that I could, yes. It's just down there, and it's the second on the left.
Excellent. In general, then, a certain lack of self-awareness. Why should this be? I think the best way for me to explain this, really, is to crouch about here on the seashore wearing... wearing a baggy pair of corduroy trousers whilst jerking my hands up and down like an octopus with St. Vitus dance. In fact, of course, medicine today is relatively advanced. That's to say, it's no longer a mystery how human bodies work, although in the case of stockbrokers, it is still a mystery why. Yet a few hundred years ago, medical treatment was a lot more primitive than it is today. That's to say, a few hundred years ago, medical treatment was a lot more primitive than it is today.
I do hope you can help me, Doctor. I've got this awful sort of ache in my right leg.
Well, I think we can soon put that right. Just hold still a moment, would you? Next.
Oh, sorry to trouble you, Doctor, but I've been suffering with a bit of dandruff just lately.
Dandruff, I see. Next.
Doctor, I need your help desperately. You see, I've got 7 children, and I'm very... Well,
Sorry.
Well, if medical treatment was crude then, illnesses were even more so. That's to say, it wasn't until great visionaries like Sir Joseph Typhus and Dr. William Bubo came along that the development of serious disorders really began to make progress. Typhus, in 1649, was very clearly quite close to victory.
That I have now developed the nasty disease I have been searching for all these years, I am convinced. My one problem remains how best to spread it. My initial method of advertising it in a newsagent's window. Plague available, easy terms, seems to have met with little success. However, I am now certain that the plague may in fact be spread by rats. All it needs is one bite to transfer it to the human body.
And so for 14 years, Typhus waited patiently for someone to go out and bite a rat. But without success. In fact, when Typhus finally revealed his plans for a new plague to his colleagues at the St. Clough's Hospital for Frostbite and other rare tropical diseases, everyone in the audience laughed at him. As a result, he toured with a speech around the clubs and was eventually signed up for Celebrity Squares, following his death in 1687. By now, Typhus and Bubo had opened up the floodgates. In the years that followed, the perfection of new and more virulent complaints advanced by leaps and bounds, with the work of people like Louis Gangrene, Adam Scurvy, Sir Hubert Cholera, and Jan van der Measles. And it grew on, however. 2 young French chemists Armand and Gilbert Mump were still struggling to find a disease of the neck. And in 1705, the Mump brothers were indeed on the verge of a breakthrough.
Good day, my brother. How is that experiment of yours into our disease's side effects coming along?
I'm not sure. But I think I could be until something.
Ah, let me see.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean.
Well, time's up, everyone, and now while we're sorting out who's won, we move on now to our next little Burkis star skip, which all takes place in the studio of a BBC continuity announcer.
And now, on BBC Radio 4, it's time for the first showing of something a bit expensive.
BBC Radio Pictures proudly present The Fall of the Roman Empire. Starring Laurence Olivier, Sophia Loren, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor, John Gielgud and Alec Guinness in non-speaking roles. With special radio sound effects to enhance the epic scenes.
In 180 AD, the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius was drawing up plans for the total domination of mankind, one at a time, round his place on Friday afternoon. Unfortunately, he died before achieving his ambition, and with his death, the imperial might of Rome at last began to crumble. In the north, the barbarians were casting a sinister dark shadow, a part which eventually went to Sydney Poitiers. And in Britain, too, the Roman occupation was threatened by hordes of backward barbarians who ran amok through villages, fireproofing the houses, dabbing TCP on wounded Roman soldiers, and telling defenseless women they had a headache. Other barbarians who weren't quite so backward were preparing for a merciless onslaught on the capital, a story which BBC Radio Pictures now relate in The Fall of the Roman Empire. The end.
Yes, sir. I would like to complain in the strongest possible peppermints about the money the BBC has been wasting on expensive letdown films recently. If I had wished to witness scenes of unmitigated slaughter and mass suffering, I could have gone to the cinema to see The Sound of Music. Or BBC Three, as it is now. Please show a proper film. Yours in haste, me, Haste Surrey.
The year 455 AD, and the barbarians are knocking at the gates of Rome.
My husband, we are doomed. The barbarians are at the very gates of the city.
Fear not, I have a plan which will save us. How is the work going, Senator Joke coming up?
The 400 foot high beware of the dog sign is nearly ready now.
Good. That'll make them think twice before coming in.
Oh, but husband, what if the barbarians aren't frightened by dogs?
What do you mean?
Well, Towser is only a small poodle.
Yesterday he nearly tore up my leg.
No, he didn't.
Well, he chewed up my leg then.
No, he didn't.
Well, he did something up my leg.
Look, I don't think he's going to be much good against a rampaging army of Goths, Visigoths, and Vandals.
Of course he will. I trained him myself. Guards, release Towser!
Check again. 1, 2, 3.
15 million. That's more than I expected. Livius, you'd better unveil our emergency plan.
Oh, yes, Your Majesty. Yes, certainly. Here we are. The 10th phalanx of foot soldiers cause a diversion outside the gates here, whilst the 1st, 4th, and 19th legions move round in a pincer movement here.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Yes, the 12th legion offer the barbarians sweet or dry sherry as they enter over here, whilst the 13th, supported by columns of the Imperial Guard, of course, circulate with the canapes and petit fours here.
Just a minute. What was that?
Sorry, Empress.
That bit about sweet or dry sherry.
What about it?
Surely you're not proposing to give those murdering rebels out there sherry?
Well, I haven't got much choice, have I?
What do you mean?
Well, if I waited for you to organize the catering, it'd never get done. It's always the same when we have people round. I'd do everything myself.
Romulus! Coming to murder us.
Coming to murder us they may be, but that's no reason for us to stoop to their uncultured level and behave like a pack of wild animals. Captain, I think we could do with another bowl of peanuts on the east rampart.
Right, Emperor. More peanuts on the east
same every time we have a party here.
What is that, my husband?
There's always one bunch of ruddy gate crashes.
Well, that was just a little punchline our scriptwriter Bad Toubet put on there to make the sketch a bit less wacky and indeed funny. And many thanks, of course, to the man there who played the Emperor and lost an out-of-work actor who nobody recognised.
Thank you, Ted. A pleasure.
Well, out-of-work actor who nobody recognised, have you got a MacGuffin for us?
I have.
And what is it?
Eric Powd of Croydon. Let my people go.
Well, welcome to 3-2-1, Mr. Croydon. And is this your first time on a television program?
Not yet, no.
Yeah, well, isn't he a panic? Now, tell me something. Whereabouts are you living at the moment?
Just above the waist.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Croydon. And now
here,
to the next
here, Mr. Rogers, sir. That hostess of yours, Mireille, male chauvinist pig swill.
Oh, yes?
She's a big girl, isn't she, eh? Have you seen her navel?
No.
Neither has she. Yeah, there was a time, you know, when all the women used to fall prey to my masculine charm.
You're joking?
Any minute now, yeah. See, I used to sing just like Rod Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, I think it must have been the animal in me.
How do you mean?
I had a ferret down my trap. I nicked that one off Bob Monkhouse, you know.
Now, there's a switch. Now, Mr. Croydon.
Mr. Rogers, sir, can I give my wife a little wave? She's not here tonight on account that she has a lot of difficulty breathing at the moment.
Oh, really? Well, what's that?
She's dead.
You get your carcass out of here, you kick the towel, collect me 5 minutes. Well, let me just read Mr. Croydon's rhyme out and see what you make of it. Ruined remains, my contents are. I am a dustbin, not a car. There you are, that's it. Narrowing, Bob and Penny, rich enough as it is. Any thoughts at all about that?
We'll reject it.
Yes. Now, the rhyme said, I am a dustbin, not a car. Well, what's a dustbin, not a car? Obviously, a dustbin. But, that would have been too easy. The clue lay in the first bit. Ruined remains. Ruined meaning, obviously, it was an anagram. And an anagram of I am a dustbin, not a car, is, of course, I am a car, not a dustbin. Yes, yes, you've rejected it. Our star prize, a brand new Austin Morris Coupe. Oh, dear. So here's George now, sweeping it on. There it is, absolutely brand new from the factory this morning. Dear, it was a shame, but, well, you turned it down, so take it away again, George. And And there we are. So that means the MacGuffin that you're left with is this one, which, as you remember, this came with the Birkisway's closing signature tune.
Nor yet keys, you'll wind things up with some of these, like a female announcer falling down a stair, it finds her left up in the air. Well, that's this week's riddle from Joe Kendall, Chris Evans, Nigel Reese, and Fred Harris. What it means is anyone's guess, but if you have any idea, it'll be one more than writers Andrew Marshall and David Renwick, who can't be bothered to work it out. Unlike producer David Hatch of the BBC Hatch, who goes for riddles in a big way. That's all from 3-2-1 for now, but see you again next week, folks. Till then, happy dynamic living!
Well, that then was the MacGuffin, so now let's see exactly what it meant. The real clues were wind things up with some of these and left up in the air. Yes, Bob and Penny, rich enough as it is, you've won this complete set of luxury dummy endings.
Well, that special edition of the Birkis Way replaced the program advertised in Radio Times. And next week at this time, Harry Worth begins a brand new series of 6 shows featuring his own inimitable brand of humour. That's right here on Radio 4.
Well, contrary to what the last gentleman might have told you, the Birkis team will in fact be back again, wreaking havoc at the same time next week.
Well, if anything I say can be taken seriously after all that, let me just tell you that next week sees the return of the popular panel game My Word with Frank Muir and Dennis Norton, and in the chair, John Julius Norwich. That's My Word, here at the same time next week.